You would look in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, and in chapter 13, reading two verses of Scripture this morning, verses 8 and 9. Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. I want to use for our text this morning verse 9, but I'll mention this. We will not understand verse 9 correctly without also considering verse 8. Last Sunday, Brother Justice brought us a message on the unchanging Christ using verse 8 as a text. And not only is Jesus unchanging, all the persons of the Godhead are unchanging. And I'll also go beyond that, not only unchanging, they are unchangeable. Unchangeable. Since God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all unchangeable, even so the doctrine of God is unchangeable. God will never change His doctrine, His word, or His teaching, as we find it in the Word of God. The doctrine concerning, the doctrine of God concerning the salvation of sinners is a doctrine of sovereign grace. Anyone that does not understand that simply does not understand the gospel at all. It is a doctrine of God's wonderful sovereign grace. I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 2. Ephesians, and in chapter 2, we know this well, but it's always good to read the Word of God. We know sometimes when I mention this passage or that passage, you have it memorized, but nothing should ever take the place of reading the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, the Apostle Paul did write by divine inspiration, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll say again, the doctrine of God concerning the salvation of sinners is a doctrine of grace. And I mention sovereign grace because it is. It has no constraints at all other than the will of God. Amen. Also, if you would, look in your Bible to the book of Acts and in chapter 20. Acts and in chapter 20. The Apostle Paul in Acts 20 mentions several things that he endured and he suffered. The Holy Spirit had forewarned Paul that trouble was coming, opposition was coming, persecution was coming. But in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 24, Paul did write this, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The gospel of the grace of God. In our text in Hebrews, again in chapter 13, the unchangeableness of Jesus Christ is used by the apostle as an argument is a persuasive tool, you could say, for the saints of God to have their hearts established in grace. Verse 8 again, he mentions this immutability of Jesus Christ. Then he gives the instruction, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Then he says, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. That the heart be established with grace. I want to read also in the book of Acts in chapter 17. In Acts and in chapter 17, I just want to read to you about the Athenians, the people of Athens, and some others, and how it relates to some today in many churches throughout the world. Sorry to say, in many Baptist churches. It was said of the Athenians in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Some people today, many preachers I know of today, are like the Athenians, always looking for something new. I get the impression from some that they have the idea that it makes them appear more intellectual if they can come up with some new teaching or some new doctrine. Our text says it is a good thing that the heart be established in grace. I'm going to read from the book of Jeremiah in chapter 6. Jeremiah, and in chapter 6. And here I'll read verse 16. Something here that we need to always keep in mind. Avoid the error of the Athenians. Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But so many today are like those latter words in verse 16. But they said, we will not walk therein. See and ask for the old path. To me, when I think of the old path as far as spiritual things, I just think about the Word of God. I think about what's written in the Scripture. What Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 was written many years ago. By man's standards, that is something that is old. That's the old path I want to walk in. That's the path my heart is established in. In our text in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 9, the apostle did write, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. The phrase there, the words carried about are really nautical terms. It has to do with a ship on the sea without a rudder, and it's just carried about wherever the wind blows. That's what he's speaking about here. Don't be carried about with these divers and strange doctrines. So many people are so easily carried about Even as the wind would blow a leaf that falls in the fall time, just carried about by the wind. They read a book, they hear a preacher, whatever it may be, and they're so influenced, they're just carried away with it. It does not matter whether what is written or what is said is in agreement with the Word of God. It just sounds good to them. They're just carried away with those winds of doctrine. That's what I'm going to read in Ephesians in chapter 4. The book of Ephesians, and in chapter 4, Ephesians and in chapter 4, here I'll begin in verse 11. And it says, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And again, when I read things like this, I stop and pause there and just ask myself the question, why did He do that? Why did He give these gifts to men? Verse 12, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice the last words of verse 14. And I hope you realize the truthfulness of this. There are those that actually lie in wait to deceive you. There are some that do that. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Being carried about with every wind of doctrine is a sure sign of an immature Christian. That's what's stated in verse 14. It's the children, the immature, that are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Notice in the book of Jude, if you would, what Jude did write concerning those that lie in wait to deceive, seek to carry you about with these divers and strange doctrines. They try to entice you from the old path into new doctrines, false doctrines. In the book of Jude, and in verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. That's number one. That's number one. They speak evil of those things. How many times have you ever heard someone criticize the doctrines of grace? Just absolutely reject the doctrines of grace. Well, they speak evil of those things they know not. They don't know anything about what they're talking about. They don't know anything about grace. These speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, and they're likened unto brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, judgment unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, just no substance. Carried about of winds. Same thing we read in Hebrews. Carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. In our text in Hebrews chapter 13, the admonition, the instructions to the people of God: be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. If it were not a possibility for you and I to be carried about with strange doctrines, this would have no meaning at all. It's a real possibility. It's a possibility. And we're to be on guard against this. Notice the phrase here: divers and strange doctrines. Divers, a diversity of these doctrines, many different kinds. There are a multitude of false doctrines in the world. Notice the word strange in verse 19. This word does not mean weird, or however we might normally think of the word strange. These doctrines are strangers to the Word of God. They're foreign to the Word of God. That's what this word strange here really means. These doctrines are not in agreement to the Word of God. This word strange here could also be rightly interpreted unheard of. Be not carried about with this diversity of doctrines, of unheard of doctrines. I hear some things today out of some Baptist preachers that have been unheard of. They come up with new things. Let me point out, look in, you're here close, look in 1 Peter chapter 4. Keep that word strange in your mind here. In 1 Peter and in chapter 4, and in verse 12, 1 Peter 4 and in verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. The word strange is used there, same word in our text. And what he's saying here in 1 Peter is, don't think it's something unheard of concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as so some unheard of thing happened unto you. You know, sometimes something happens to us and we say, woe is me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. I'm the only one that's suffering like this. Well, don't think it unheard of because you're going through that. It's been heard of before. Other people have the same thing. That's the meaning back in our text. In Hebrews 13 and in verse 9, and I point this out repeatedly and plan to continue to do so. You'll notice in verse 9 the word doctrine is in the plural. And you'll never find in the Word of God the doctrine of God in the plural, because God has only one. Only one. In the world, in false religion, there is this diversity of unheard of and strange doctrines. But the doctrine of God is one. You can take your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's one complete book. Revelation from God. It's one. The doctrine of God is one. And the doctrine of God is as unchangeable as God himself. There's a reason verse 8 precedes verse 9. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that there immediately before what's stated in verse 9? Because in verse 9, there is this diversity of strange doctrines, but Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The doctrine of Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's as unchangeable as Jesus Christ himself. If you think about this diversity in verse 9 and these strange doctrines, one thing is consistent with them, no matter what form they may take, they always appeal to the flesh. They never appeal to the spiritual. They always appeal to the flesh. And those who are of the flesh are naturally attracted to them. You can be assured those that are have their hearts established in grace are attracted to the true doctrine of God. That gospel of the grace of God we read of in Acts 20 and in verse 24. If you want to know what's happened to many churches in our generation, and I'll say again, many Baptist churches of our generation, this is it in verse 9. They've been carried about with divers and strange doctrines. They have not remained in the old path. Something has allured them away. And we have the admonition in verse 9 for us. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. I just love the simplicity of verse 9. Nothing complicated here about the words. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And then he writes, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Just the simplicity of the word of God. Now, in my reasoning, if it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, anything and everything that is contrary to grace cannot be a good thing. Just can't be. It just cannot be. It's a good thing. And that means it is inherently good. It is essentially good. It is basically good. There's not a hint of anything bad in your heart being established in grace. Notice that word, established, in verse 9. It means to make firm, secure, to have a firm foundation. In the book of Colossians and in chapter 1, in Colossians and chapter 1 and in verse 23, here the apostle did write, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, that's being established. That's being established. Grounded, and note what he says next, and be not moved away. Our text says, be not carried away. Here he says, be not moved away, but be grounded and settled in the faith. In Colossians and in chapter 2 and in verse 7, rooted and built up. Then it says, and established in the faith. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. You know, what we're speaking of here is not a new problem. It was a problem in the days of the Apostle Paul. He wrote to the churches and warned them about this and told them about this. Look, you're here close again. Look in Galatians and in chapter 1. There's something that just amazed the Apostle Paul. He seemed to be surprised. In Galatians and in chapter 1 and in verse 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, Paul said, I marvel that this happened so quickly. That's what he said. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The wording of verse 7 associated with verse 6 may sound a little strange to some. In verse 6 he said unto another gospel, then he said which is not another. Well, we need some little understanding here, don't we? You can use the word another to refer to another of the same sort or another of a different sort. And he's saying here, you've been removed unto another gospel, but it's not of the same type gospel. It's a different gospel. It's not of the same kind. Then he states in verse 7, but there be some that trouble you, and notice this, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We read a moment ago, there are some who lie in wait to deceive. Here he writes, there are some who would, and that word shows that's their intention, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In 2 Corinthians and in chapter 11. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now, verse 4 speaks about another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. That's a reality today. There's people today preaching a Jesus that I don't know anything about. He's an absolute failure. He cannot do anything that he wants to do without man's permission. Another spirit that cannot effectually regenerate and draw people to Christ. Another gospel that is not the gospel of the grace of God. Note the last words here of verse 4. It says, ye might well bear with him. Well, what does that mean? That means simply you would do well to have nothing to do with that man. If anyone comes in verse 4, the first part, and they're preaching another Jesus, another spirit, or another gospel, the best thing you can do is have nothing to do with them. The Bible says don't even bid them Godspeed or allow them in your house. Amen. That's what the last words here really, really mean in this. Notice back in our text again. After he mentions this being carried away with a diversity of unheard of and strange doctrines, he said, here's what's a good thing. And you'll notice in verse 9 in this phrase, he deals with two basic things. Notice the heart. The heart. And the second thing is grace. Why did he mention the heart? You'll notice he does not say it's a good thing that your mind or your intellect or your natural reasoning be established in grace. He said it's a good thing that your heart be established in grace. The mind of man will never be firmly established in grace until the heart is established in grace. In the book of Proverbs and in chapter 4, Proverbs and in chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For or because out of it are the issues of life. Don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. It's a good thing that the heart be established. Here it says, keep thy heart. Here's personal responsibility and duty. Don't be carried about with these other doctrines. Keep your heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. One way you and I can readily recognize false doctrine, one thing that enables us to recognize false doctrine, is to have the heart established in grace. I'm sure if your heart is established in grace, you can relate to this. You may hear someone teach or preach and they'll say something and you know immediately that's not right. And you may not be able to go to chapter and verse to refute that, but you know it's not right. Because your heart is established in grace and it will not accept anything contrary to grace. It's one way that we know error, if it's contrary to grace. And again, here in the book of Proverbs, we're told to keep the heart with all diligence. This is an important matter. The book of 2 Peter. In the book of 2 Peter and in chapter 1, I'll read verse 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called you, that hath called us to glory and virtue. If your heart is established in grace, verse 3 here of 2 Peter 1, you will know And you will not be shaken on this. You will know that our God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You'll know He didn't just do part and leave the rest up to you. He's given unto us all and everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Any doctrine contrary to that is heresy. It's a false doctrine. It's a false doctrine. I'll mention Acts 20 and verse 24 again. The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. I want to read something, and it's going to sound harsh to you. In Romans in chapter 16. In Romans and in chapter 16. And I read this to say this. If your heart is truly established in grace, you will not have the least bit of tolerance for any other doctrine. You won't have any tolerance for those who teach or preach any other doctrine other than the gospel of the grace of God. Romans in chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have heard, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That last phrase there, does that sound familiar to some other things we've read? We're told to do two things here. Number one, mark them. That means identify them. Know who they are. The second thing, avoid them. Avoid them. If you want to know a definition of that phrase, avoid them, what it really means in the usage in the original language, it just means steer clear of them. Steer clear of them. It really means avoid them. And you might ask, why? Why avoid them? Well, verse 18, for or because they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. So why would I want to have anything to do with them? If they are preaching a doctrine contrary to the doctrine of the grace of God, mark them and avoid them. I'm going to read in Colossians and then our text again and I'll close. Colossians and in chapter 1. Colossians and in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 6 again, there's a progression here in the latter part of this verse. Ye heard, and you knew. You can't never know until you've heard. But if you've heard, as it speaks in verse 5, the word of the truth of the gospel, and then the latter part of verse 6, the grace of God in truth. If you've heard it and you really know it, your heart will be established in grace. And our text says in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 9, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace.